I was talking to my husband this morning via telephone because he's out of town again this weekend. And I said, honey, you know the irony is that this is the second weekend of talking about relationships in the sermon, and you haven't been here either one. You've been out of town both weekends. And he laughed and said, yes. So I do want to assure you, he really does exist. He's not just like my imaginary friend or a big tall bunny. He really does exist, but he's not here right now. But we are on our second Sunday of relationship talking. And this weekend, the sermon, the scripture may seem a little inexplicable. What does this sermon have to do with relationships, and what does it have to do with one of the five things that will destroy your relationships? And so I invite Jack to come forward and share with us this sermon as we listen for that together.
This scripture reading is taken from the book of Luke, the 14th chapter, the 28th through the 32nd verse. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he's laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build and was not able to finish it. Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able, with 10,000, to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks the terms for peace. This is the word of God for the people of God.
One of my worst dates ever occurred my freshman year of college. I was a freshman at Davidson College in North Carolina, and I got a call from somebody that I'd only met once before, inviting me to Furman for homecoming weekend. And although Furman's in South Carolina, it really wasn't that far away. And I thought to myself, well, you know, this is interesting because I've only met him once before. And although I'd worked with his brother for an entire summer of a Christian ministry that summer that I'd been with, I liked his brother. I thought, well, I've only met this guy once before. It must be my stunning personality that made him want to invite me up to Furman for homecoming, which should have been my first clue that something was off. But I thought it sounded fun, and so I said, sure. So homecoming weekend came, and I drove down to Furman, and as soon as I got to campus, there he was waiting for me, and he showed me how to get to the girls' dorm where I'd be staying on the floor of one of his friends. He dropped me off at the entrance to the dorm because the girls' dorm there was guarded by a very imposing woman whose one job in life was to make sure no male ever entered the dorm. And so he dropped me off and said he'd be back in an hour for dinner. So I took myself up past the lady and found the room, the floor that I was supposed to be sleeping, and I walked in and there was a girl there. I said, hi, I'm Sally, I'm sleeping on your floor this weekend. And she said, oh yeah. And she got up and she walked out without a word. And she goes next door and I can hear, and her friend next door says, oh hi, what are you doing here? And she says, I've got an import sleeping on the floor of my room. Now, I knew what an import was. At Davidson, it hadn't been co-ed for very long when I was there. Whenever there was a big weekend, the guys would import girls from other schools to go to the dances and stuff. And at Davidson, we made fun of them, but at least we would talk to them. At Furman, they were a lot more resistant to imports. That entire weekend, not a single girl in that dorm spoke to me the entire time that I was there. So after my hour of silence on the floor of this empty room, because there were no chairs, there was just a floor, I went to dinner. And there was Robert. And so we started dinner. And I'm feeling curious. And so I say, so Robert, you know, tell me about why you invited me to homecoming this weekend. And he said, well, he said, do you remember when I came and visited my brother on the Outer Banks of North Carolina at this Christian ministry? And I said, yes. He said, "Do you remember the night that we were all up on the roof talking? I was at a KOA campground in those A-frame buildings. They had flat roofs. And so at night, we'd all sit on the roof as college students were wont to do and just talk about everything." And I said, "Yes." And he said, "And you remember the conversation?" And I'm like, "Why don't you remind me of the conversation?" He said, "We were talking about SAT scores." Like, okay. And I'm like, "Yeah, where is this leading?" And he said, "And you didn't want to tell yours." I'm like, "Yeah, that sounds like me." And he said, "And then you did." I'm like, "Okay." And he said, "And I about fell off the roof." I'm like, "Oh?" He said, "Well, I didn't think a girl could get a score like that." He said, "And I want to be a millionaire by the time I'm age 30, and I thought you might be a good wife for me to become a millionaire with." Things went downhill from there. And this is at 6:10 on Friday night of homecoming weekend. Before dinner was over, we knew that this was a bust. We didn't even order dessert. He took me right back to the girls' dorm. It was still daylight out. Dropped me off. I went into the dorm of hostility, and that became our pattern for the weekend, where he would show up at obligatory times to feed me and then take me right back to the dorm. He'd let me in the front door, and I'd walk right out the back door and go walk around campus. It's a beautiful campus. But one of the worst dates of my life. Now, the problem, of course, was differing expectations. I thought I was going to Furman for homecoming weekend. Well, he thought he was interviewing a potential spouse. Differing expectations. As Shakespeare said, expectation is the root of all heartache. And it was that weekend. But it also is true of our relationships, too, that expectations can be a source of a lot of heartache. And that's what I'd like to talk with you this morning about. Expectations and how they can destroy relationships. There are several ways that they can do that. First of all, that we have unrealistic expectations going into relationships. We may think that we've got a knight in shining armor or a wonderful princess. We may think that, "Oh, he'll always be able to read my mind." Or he may think, "Oh, she'll always know exactly what I like to have for breakfast and will make it for me." And what happens, of course, is that reality is something different and that we find ourselves with Pigpen instead. Even more than that, we're told and we believe that the two shall become one, and it's scriptural and it's true. But then if the two actually also grow into strong, independent individuals, then we begin to think something is wrong with us because that expectation is not met. And so this can be really dangerous because our expectations can build up and can actually harm the reality of the relationship we have. There are other ways that our expectations can be harmful. We all have expectations from our families of origin, for better or for worse. It may be that your parents had a loving, fantastic relationship, and you always thought that your family would be exactly the same. It may be that your parents did not have a healthy relationship, but even out of that, you learned things that you didn't want to carry into your own relationships. And so you come with those expectations. But then you also bring expectations related to how then each person in a relationship will act. Does the husband always bring home the bacon, and does the wife always fry it up in a pan, for instance? And that's a wonderful model that works really well, but that may not be your model. That may not be the model that works really well for you. But if you've got one person that's expecting that and one person that's expecting something else, that can create problems. Every relationship, you and your beloved sit down together and you say, "This is where I came from, this is where I came from, but here is what we want to create, the way that we want our life together to be." there's another danger from expectations. And that is that over one's life, one's goals and expectations do change. If you ever come to our preschool graduation, it is really fun. It's a hoot. And every year, the teachers ask each child what they want to be when they grow up. Well, if every cowboy and every princess from our preschool graduation became what they wanted to be when they were 4 or 5 years old, the world wouldn't hold all those cowboys and princesses. I mean, obviously, our goals change over our lives. I was so surprised when I was in seminary to see many of my classmates divorcing, either during seminary or in early years of ministry. Why was that? I heard somebody say, you know, I thought I was marrying an accountant, and he was going to be an accountant, and then he got a call from ministry. And suddenly, rather than being an accountant's wife, I am a preacher's wife or a preacher's husband, and that is not what I signed on for. And that can be stressful. Or people go into ministry thinking that it will be one way, and then they get into a church and realize it's another way, and that can cause stress. Now, I lift up ministry, but you know that's true in so many ways where you think that you married somebody who wants to do this with their life, and then that changes. And that changes not only the life of your beloved, but it also changes your own life too. When I meet with couples for premarital counseling, one of the things I do is I say, where do you see yourself in a year? And for couples, that's usually really easy. They smile and they're like, oh, well, you know, the wedding will be done with. We'll be so relieved. We'll be settling into our new home. We'll be getting things together. Our careers are coming along. It'll be great. I'll say, well, so what do you see yourselves doing in 5 years? And they'll kind of pause and they'll talk maybe about children, maybe about something different that they see happening in their lives professionally. Maybe they want to move to be closer to family. And then I'll say, well, what do you see happening in 10 years? And they begin to get sort of a glazed deer in headlights look. And then I'll say, well, what about 25 years? Now, when you're talking to a 25-year-old about 25 years from now, they don't even want to think about how old they will be at 50, much less what they're doing. And reality is that at 25, it's probably about as hard to know what your life will look like at 50 as it is when you're a preschooler and you want to be a cowboy or a princess. And so one of the things that you do together is you check in with each other. What are your goals? And you make sure that your goals, even as they change, are still in alignment with each other. You see, this is tough stuff, and this is why we need Scripture. In Scripture today, it may have sounded like it didn't relate, but it truly does. Jesus had a bunch of followers who were infatuated with him. They loved what they thought they knew about him. And they loved what they thought that they knew about being a Christian. And they thought it would be really exciting and wonderful to follow this man with these wonderful new teachings about love and the kingdom of God being open for everybody. And Jesus looked at them one day and realized that he needed to tell them something. And so he started talking about building a tower and going to war. He said, nobody would ever start building a tower and not count how much it's going to cost. You don't want to get halfway built and then have to stop. Everyone will make fun of you for having a half-built tower. Of course, you think about how much it will take to get it built. And he said the same thing about war too. You don't go to war until you know what to expect, what the armies arrayed against you are like. You may or may not recognize this picture. It's from a picnic. It was in the 1860s. A group of people decided they would have a picnic. If you know this picture, you may know that it is the location of the picnic was a place called Bull Run. These people and many other like them decided that it would be a really entertaining thing to do to go have a picnic and watch a little battle that they heard would be happening in the Civil War in their area. The Battle of Bull Run turned out to be one of the bloodiest battles of the Civil War. The picnickers were overrun by the fighting. And so what they expected would be this was this instead. Jesus says, no one should go to war without counting the cost, without knowing what the troops are going to be like. In fact, he even ended this passage, and we didn't read this part. The last verse of this passage is, so therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all of your possessions. Jesus wanted these disciples to know that we're going to be following him, that it was going to be tough, that there were going to be tough times. It wasn't always going to be a walk in the park. Now, am I saying that marriage is like war? Of course not. Am I saying that it is only hard times? Of course not. But I will tell you that every time a couple stands up here in front of God and everybody in this room, they promise to be together for better and for worse, for richer and for poorer, in health, yes, but also in sickness. Nobody ever stands up here and says, I promise to be with you as long as you are healthy, wealthy, and wise, and then I'm out of here. Of course not. Life isn't like that. The promises that we make to each other are promises that are for every phase, regardless of what our expectations are like. But what do you do if you feel like you are kind of stuck in that weekend-long date that I had? If you're in a place where there are competing expectations, you're not stuck. You're really not. Let me share with you a few thoughts. First of all, I want to invite you to set aside unrealistic expectations of your beloved. The scripture from the book of Psalms says, for God alone my soul waits in silence, for my hope is from the Lord. Our hope is in God. God is God. Our beloved is not. Someone who is perfect for you is not also perfect. They're perfect for you. And so set aside, feel free to set aside those expectations that are just unrealistic, and feel free to know that your love will be with you even in the times that don't hit your expectations. All right, second, I invite you to replace expectation with appreciation. Again, another word from the psalmist. I praise you, O God, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, that I know very well. We are all fearfully and wonderfully made, including our beloved. And so there are things, even if they don't meet expectations, realistic or unrealistic, that we may have, they still are fearfully and wonderfully made and have many things for which we can be appreciative. And so I invite you to practice appreciation. Rather than saying, why didn't you do this? What if you say, thank you for doing that? Those little things that I take for granted, I just want to take a minute and thank you. And I want to tell you how much I love this thing about you, not how much I dislike that thing. Practicing that can make a difference. I also want to invite you together to set worthwhile goals and expectations together. Paul says in Ephesians 4:1, I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Live a life worthy of this calling. So do you want to be a millionaire by 30? Well, go for it, but make sure that you know the why you want to be a millionaire by age 30. Because I guarantee you, should you attain that goal, you're still going to wake up on your 31st birthday, and you're going to need to know a why for what happens next in your life. And so sit with your beloved and set some worthwhile goals and expectations. It may be that you say, you know, I celebrate that we are changing the world through changing young lives through teaching. It may be that you say, you know, my day job, I don't necessarily see how it's changing the world, but it's enabling me to have the time and resources to do this thing, which I believe will change the world. It may be that that y'all discover that you want to engage in some things together to help make a difference. And it may just be that you realize that the goals and expectations that you had really aren't worthy of what you want to do, the good that you want to do in the world as a couple, and that y'all need to create some new ones. Just know that you and your beloved can make a difference in this world, and be intentional to notice how you can do that. You see, here's the thing about expectations. They can be a fun and wonderful gift of God. You may have woken up this morning and breathed in that crisp morning air and said, oh, it's a beautiful fall day. The sun is shining. The Chiefs are playing. It's going to be a great day to be alive. Those are expectations that got you out of bed with a smile. You may have thought, I get to come to church today, hear some fabulous music, see friends, learn, study, grow. What a great day it is. There may be a date that you're looking forward to, a concert or an event, and that gives you something to look forward to. You see, the thing about expectations is they keep us looking forward into the future. And it's always a good idea to look the direction you're moving, especially when you're driving a car or walking or living, that you want to be looking to the future. And expectations keep us looking to the future. But make sure that your expectations mesh with reality, that you're counting the cost, that you know that every day will not be a sunny sunshine day, that there will be tough days, but that your love will be strong enough to get you through those times. Set aside your false expectations, and you will find that you are open to God's expectations of faith, hope, and love in your relationships, and in every aspect of your life. Will you pray with me? Oh God, forgive us for the times that we have taken your good gift of hope and expectations and traded them for something worse. I pray that you give us new expectations that bring us joy in each day, and that we may share these expectations with all of those whom you have given us to love in this life, whether they be spouses or partners or friends or family, that we may together do great things in your love. Amen.